Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 191, part 1, I Would Be Persuaded If. Today is Good Friday, April 22nd, 2011. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Hey, time flies by, especially when your computer crashes and you have old software and you try to build a new computer and the old software. Anyways, it's a long and very sad, sad story, but I am happy to be back. And just a little bit about that music intro. It was just a neighborhood group trying to, you know, copy somebody's music and all that. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. So here we are back. This is the month of April. Wow. Where did March go? I think we were in the computer world abyss, just kind of spinning around trying to figure things out. Yeah. Okay, I fired myself as hostess with the mostest, let the domain name expire, and we went through a little bit of a drama, I might say, with that. Got over that. The search engines helped me out, evidently, because I couldn't even deal with it. And but we are learning Windows 7. We are going to be searching for some editing software. Now, I want you to know that Pastor Paul's messages are not edited at all, obviously, if you've listened to his messages. But one thing, you know, back in the recording of the cassette days, way back, there was, when the tape turned, you had that little bit of a break. And so your hostess with the mostest and all of her diligence has to go in and cut that. And that's about what I do. And then sometimes we have some long, you know, where the recorder recording audio guys were asleep and they were maybe talking about the sports game. And then when Pastor Paul, he started, you know, they didn't turn on the tape, or maybe they turned on the tape and then started talking and he was still putting his mic on, you know. So I have to clean up the beginning and the end. So I'm kind of like cleanup crew on the tape deal. Anyways, so just some little, but I'm looking for some editing software because, you know, we want these podcasts to be kind of cleaned up and fun, and you don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, when is this thing going to start? You know, we got a 2-minute delay in the beginning. So a little bit of housekeeping news for you. Let's see. Oh, the website, believe me, I'm not even going to give you the links. I don't even want you to go. Okay, now that I'm saying that, you're probably all rushed to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, and go there. But, you know, it's a wreck. I have to clean it up. Actually, I want to let you know, I fired myself as web madam, okay? So, but then I had to hire myself back again because nobody wanted the job, you know? So if anybody out there is looking for a job, and by the way, your the payment that you get for the job, you'll receive from the Lord because we don't have any money down here. Okay, enough with all the sad stories. Okay, so don't go to www.pastorball.org because I'm going to redo it the best that I can using old software. Front Pages 2003, which Microsoft doesn't even want to admit to. So there we go. But enough with all of that and my sad, sad story. Let me turn down this. Getting a little feedback. Yeah, Pastor Paul, he's gotten a lot of feedback in the days too. All right, so what do we want to talk about real quickly? The message is for the month of April. Okay, let me give you the rundown here. The month of April, I'll probably redo this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, the intro here. But anyways, I'm going to be redoing everything. I'm just a totally dissatisfied hostess with the mostest, web madam, and I'm just firing all of those. And you know, I'm going to hire myself as the chief marketing technologist and just get rid of all these things, you know. It's like you get multiple personalities. Okay, so here are the messages for the month of April. The first one, which is where I was in the belly of the computer abyss, the big fish, the big computer fish. How's your memory? It's a good one. Second, now I see. Third, I would be persuaded if, ooh, we know some people that's going to really minister to. I would be persuaded if, my God, there we have it. Four messages. So we've got the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There you go. I am glad to be back. Listen, you have to hear this. The car alarm. Can you believe it? Yeah, it goes off all the time. Have a great month. I really did miss you.
Tonight's message is entitled, I Would Be Persuaded If. I would be persuaded if. So tonight let's look in on Luke 16 and 31, and it says like this. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So let's turn back in history here. And read that. And here it is in Psalm 105. 26 verse starting. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen, and they performed wondrous acts among them. They did all kinds of wondrous things, and miracles in the land of Ham. And he sent all these miracles and all these things. Did it cause them to believe? No. He sent darkness and made it dark. Well, now, what that means was, he sent darkness and he made it dark. It was so dark, there was no seeing at all. And it was 3 days and three nights that way. Now imagine the fear that came on the people. I'm talking about pitch black, like you were in a closet, and they stuffed cloths around the bottom of the door and the keyhole, whatever. No light whatsoever. And it says, and they did not rebel against his words. They became so fearful, they didn't even rebel. They said, clear the way and let these Israelites out of here. And still they didn't believe. And he said, he turned their waters into blood. Not only that, he caused their fish to die. He slew the fish. Now that's no small thing when they depend upon their livelihood for the fish. And here are these fish swimming in this putrid blood. They didn't believe. And their land swarmed with frogs. Now, can you imagine how many in here would sort of freak out if frogs covered your whole yard? They were all over your windows, and they were all over your doors, and they got into your house, and they were all over your furniture, and they were all over the icebox, and you opened up the icebox, and frogs jumped out. And they were in the toilet and in the bathtub, and they were coming up through the drains. Even in the chambers of their kings. Now here's the kings that were being humbled. All these frogs on their little fancy couches. They didn't believe. He spoke and there came a swarm of flies. And it says in the original, all manner of types of flies. Beetles. Great big beetles. June beetles. Gnats. Little biting gnats. Big biting gnats. Swarms of all kinds of flies, mosquitoes. Did they believe? And gnats in all their territory, and he gave them hail for rain. Now, they didn't have a lot of rain then. But even though they didn't have a lot of rain, well, he said, well, I'll give you something. I'll give you hail. And he gave them hail. That hail ruined everything. All the vineyards were knocked down. And flaming fire in their land. Well, it just sort of ran like a flame all over their land. It burned up all the fruit, burned up all the trees, burned up everything. He struck down their vines, also their fig trees, and scattered the trees of their territory. And he spoke, and listen, and the locust came, the king of the whole universe, spoke to the head of the locust family. Move on, Egypt. And they mounted up and they came in. Did they believe? And the young locust, and that would be the caterpillar, and in the original it calls them the lickers. Well, now, if you've ever seen where locusts come in, they eat everything. They even get to the top of the trees and eat downward. It's like they lick up everything. Literally lick up everything. Do they believe? And young locusts, even without number, and ate all their vegetation in their land, and ate up all their fruit on their ground, even the stuff that had been knocked down by the hail. He also struck down all their firstborn in the land. Now the little ones were dying. The firstborn, glory of their families. First fruits, it says, of all their vigor. Did they believe? Then he brought them out with silver and gold. Okay, now they said, okay, now you've seen all this. We want some silver and gold. And so the Egyptian says, here, take it. Just get out. And among his tribes, there was not one who stumbled. In other words, there were no sick. There were no halt. There were no lame. There were nothing like that. They were all healed in perfect health. And they went out, and they went out with gold and silver. And shouldn't they have had it anyway after being in bondage all those hundreds of years? It says, Egypt was glad, and they departed. For the dread of them had fallen upon them. They just wanted them out of there. And did they believe? Now let's see what happens. He spread a cloud for a covering. He put a covering over them and a fire to illuminate them. It says by night. Did they believe? No. And they go on and on and on with their story, and they still did not believe. And they went on. They even got to dancing around a golden calf. Even the believers were unbelievers. I would be persuaded if, is tonight's title. In other words, unbelievers, I'm saying, cannot be persuaded against their will. My mother used to say, convince a fool against his will, he's of the same opinion still. Talk all you want to someone, and they're of that opinion, they're not going to change their mind. No, they won't. Oh, he may shake his head, yes, yes, and yet walk away with a dumb no on his face. I think many times a lot of us are walking excuses. We know everyone from A to Z. I believe most of mankind are prone to indulge in apologies for sin. They say, but we're living in such hard times. And the ministry is so hard. Why not just leave it all? And why not just depart? Why not just go away? Why not leave the call of God? Are you hearing this, preacher? Listening on the radio or someone listening to this tape, maybe in here tonight? But we're living in such hard times. So much temptation. You got to cheat to maintain. And it's just like Don was saying while he was up here. A lot of money going everywhere. Money, money everywhere, and not a drop coming in here. Not a drop to drink. Well, then why not just give up? Right? No. It's not the time to give up. But it's so hard. I think maybe we've got to start to cheat to maintain. If we would have been born in happier times, not under the threat of H-bombs, we'd probably be better off, probably be more holy. But the mass of people, when they seek a way out and the cause of their sin, they seek it anywhere but in the right place. Within themselves. When they seek an excuse for failure, they go everywhere but to themselves. Well, they blame it on everybody. Well, this person did that, or that person did this, and so on and so on. And it begins to be a great big argument on who caused you to do what. There should only be one that causes you to do anything, the Spirit of God. God's always going to cause you to prosper, and I'm not talking about money in your pocket. Prospering is peace in your heart and peace in your soul and health. That's a prospering. And a sound mind, and that's a prospering. How'd you like to have $10 million and be totally nuts? Well, what good would it do you? How'd you like to have $10 million and be a nervous wreck? Well, you probably would be if you had $10 million. But anyway, we will not blame our own nature for it. And then we have those that will not find fault with their own corrupt heart. Now, when you really get to know yourself, preacher, is when the Holy Spirit shows you. Then you won't be into legalism. you'll be into understanding, and you'll be into humility, and you'll be into preaching the gospel of all grace and nothing else. But anyway, they will lay the blame anywhere else. Their parents, well, my parents, yeah. Well, see, take a look at them, and then you see the product of their preaching. Or it's society. Well, see, that's the way it is out there, and that's why I am the way I am. Circumstances, world conditions. Well, what's a fellow to do? Or if I went to a different school, I hear someone saying, it wouldn't be like this. If I had different friends, if I had a different mate, if I had a different church. And then some find fault with their peculiar position. If I would have been rich instead of poor, I never would have been dishonest. But, you know, you got to steal to make a go at it. That's kind of strange to me, because many got rich just that way. By stealing. Most, I should say. See, with money, I wouldn't have been exposed to lust. I wouldn't have been exposed to stealing. I wouldn't have been exposed to any of these other temptations. And then I hear people say, but society has made me this way. Society has made me, in some part, true. But society has made me a rebel. But you've got to take the excuses away from folks. Society has made me a pot smoker. Society has made me a hooker or a bum or a high school dropout, if you're listening to me today, and you should be in school. But see, they are all part, and you are all part of this present society that you blame. And so they decide in their heart, well, we got to change it all, and that's how revolutions come about. When people want to change things for their own personal reasons. And then they have these personal reasons and it catches hold. Pretty soon you know you've got a full-blown revolution on your hands. And so they got to upset everything. And then you get the terrorists running out there with their little bombs. And their little fire bombs and their knives and their guns. Because society has made me this way, a rebel. No. Don't blame it on society. Don't blame it on the United States or China or Russia or Cuba or whatever. Don't blame it on your family, and don't blame it on your brother, and don't blame it on your sister, and don't blame it on your mate, and don't blame it on your preacher, and don't blame it on your church. Well, now we're talking to you. But see, they have to upset everything, and after they upset everything, they say, well, that's the way to get holy. Got to change everything, and then I'll change. And they got it in reverse, don't you see? Isn't there a song like that? Let's have a revolution. Come on. And then some say it's because of my training. My parents, a person talked to me a couple weeks ago, my parents were so strict, and that's why I am like I am. And another person called and says, well, my parents were too lenient. I says, that's funny, someone just called me and said their parents were too strict. But anyway, my sin is a fault of my parents, and my shortcomings are a product of what they did to me. Or another person says, well, that's just the way I am. I'm made up that way. I'm Irish. I got red hair. I get mean and mad. I got a temper. What's that got to do with it? Or I'm a German. I'm stubborn. Or I'm a Greek. When I get mad, I throw things. Look out. But now listen to them talk about themselves. Well, if I had so-and-so's temper, I'd be all right. But with my headstrong, hothead disposition. It's impossible. And actually, they're quite proud about their mads. If I wasn't such a hothead. See, in reality, they love to hear people talk about their mads. Oh, that guy gets so mad. Woo! Did he tell that person off? Woo! That person went walking out with their tail between their legs. Woo! Huh? What does that prove? Proves you got a lot of pride in how you can handle people by getting mad. I just would not take that off that person. I remember my seventh wife. She was that way. Oh, if I only didn't look like Pastor Paul, look at me. Yeah, just take a good look. How would you act if you were in this body? I don't know. I don't care to get in that body. It looks pretty miserable to me. Besides, I can't walk in high heels, okay? These are the excuses you get. How concerned really are we with anything but ourselves? Oh, I'm tired. I'm that. Well, can you do this? No, I'm going bowling. I go bowling every Wednesday, every Friday. I go, inner tubing twice a week, whatever. Now, probably some of you listening do that every Friday night. You're listening on the radio. Do you? You think the bowling alley will make it without your ball rolling down that alley in the gutter every other throw? Think so. Well, I can't help it. It's the way I was brought up. Well, why don't you change? Why don't you get liberated? Now, I'm just using that, don't you see? There's all kinds of excuses. But then we have others that go even further and they blame their ministry. If only the preacher, now I heard this one. If only while I was there on Easter, or was it Christmas? I don't know, one of the two. And you would have been more earnest in your preaching last year. Or was it the year before? I don't know. But anyway, it's your fault. Or they blame it on the church members. Bunch of hypocrites. Well, I always say it takes one to know one. I think the church is coming together. The body of Christ is coming together. And it's the best thing going in this old world. It ain't perfect. And there's a lot of faults in it. But it's the best thing going, isn't it? Can you think of anything better? I can. And I've been fed up with a lot of things that go on, too. Real fed up. Sick, almost. Vomitously so. Hearing it? But I'd go there, but there's a bunch of hypocrites up there. If only they would change, then I could. Well, don't wait for them to change. That's your excuse for never changing. They ain't going to change. Why don't you start it out? Why don't you change? Now listen, for a change, all you, and all you who, let's say like this, are not born again. You're listening on the radio. I'm not talking to the born again too, but let's talk to the not born agains. Only when your hearts are renewed will you do better. You cannot do better before that you are born again. You don't have a heart for it. You got a different heart. You got a heart that runs towards evil all the time. Well, I know some people that are saved and they run towards evil. Well, that's true. But they're born of the Spirit. And there's an inward part of them that can never be lost. They're born of the Spirit. Only when hearts are renewed will you people that are listening on the radio, you unregenerated people, will you start to do better? Now, we're all on our road to heaven. We're not perfect. We don't claim to be, but we are saved. But anyway, not until that is done, and let's say if society was remodeled to perfection, total overhaul, every porno book burned. You know, all this talk about porno books and everything, you know, they're going to be, it's going to be like Prohibition. And they'll have porno book runners, like they used to have rum runners. And then these guys that just got to have their sickness, they'll charge them four times as much so they can under the counter them, you know what I mean? But if every X-rated movie were burned, all booze was poured in the bowl and flushed, all of the drugs burnt, all wrong friends put on bad guys island, let's say, if all of the ministers would be angels, and you could see them standing there in their glory with their long wings hanging down the tips, barely touching the floor. And if all you saints grew wings, and some of you do believe that you do have them, I think. Isn't that right? Some of you listening on the radio? No, well, don't let get them hung up on the door going out now. See, you would be none the better because the problem is you. Now, how many realize that most times when we're having a hard time, the problem is ourselves? Well, if you weren't here, you wouldn't have a problem. Amen? I mean, you know, if you weren't non-existent, then you have no existing problems because you didn't exist. Oh, I wish I never was born, and so do a lot of other folks. Some are even praying for your demise. Instant death. God, take him home! But going on, and I believe if everything were cleared up, you'd only end up being doubly guilty and perish with a more terrible destruction. That's what I believe. And yet men will always say, if things were different, they would have been different too. Well, see, it was my situation. Have you ever tried to live with a nut like that? See, the difference must be made within ourselves. We got to make a commitment to something. See, you got to begin in the right place, and you have to begin with you. Let's see, where do we start? And they sit down and they say, where do I start with this problem? Now, I'm going to go back. I'll check this out. And I'll check it out. I'm going to see exact. No, they don't do that. See, now, if they had a real good time, they'd go back to when they got ready at night. Let's see, now, why did I have such a good time? Well, I just did everything normal. I took a shower and I combed my hair and I used my pink towel and, you know, and I put on Bill Keem, a little dab to you, and, you know, I shined my shoes, and I went out, and I met so-and-so, and they try to relive this whole night so they can have such a fantastic time the next time. No, see, you were in a good frame of mind, and so things turned out. And you can relive that whole thing in a nervous frustration of trying to build something up, and it'll fail. You ever been around somebody who tries to pump fun? Remember, I used to go places when I'm in the world, and they'd say, be funny. Come on, be funny. I said, well, now, how would you like it if somebody come up to you and told you to be funny? I said, just get your kicks out of looking at me, okay? That's funny enough. But anyway, the problem starts with you. And you on the radio. And it starts with us. And we're looking all over for a cure to our problem. Well, everybody else has to change. Everybody else is out of step. I'm the only one that's in time, in step. They're all marching to a different drummer than I am. Now, the difference has to be made in ourselves. And then the human mind comes up with this lie. If, said the rich man in hell, if one should arise from the dead, if Lazarus would come from heaven and preach, then maybe my hardened relatives would believe. If only my father would come back and preach, then I would repent. And then everybody would go to God. Well, let us come against such casting the blame in the wrong place. And this evening with this text, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's suppose then that we heard on the radio something like this. Your attention, please. We're breaking in on this broadcast, WCCO. We're breaking in on this broadcast. It's 11 o'clock this morning. A man was seen falling from the sky. At least 500 people witnessed this great fall. He made a smooth two-point landing. And right away, he started preaching the gospel. Or let's say something like this would come forth. At 11 o'clock this morning, during a funeral, a man rose up and started to preach. He claims to have been to heaven. What do you suppose would happen? Think about that. If you heard that on the radio, what do you suppose would happen? Why, no building would hold all of the people that would come to see this person, right? Every Bible everywhere would be dusted off and put right on the front table. Crosses would be worn by the dozens. People would wrap their bodies in crosses while they couldn't hardly even walk. They'd have neck pains from carrying all them crosses. Can't you see it? Portraits by the millions would be painted of it. Look what they did for the Statue of Liberty. $270 million for a facelift. They'll spend another $300 million for Ellis Island. Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. An idol. Well, people starve all over, and Africa starves. We spend all of our money, millions and billions, on statues and Ellis Islands. And then we have people get on. I remember years ago, when we come and we look at the country, the United States of America, not one eye dry, not one dry tear in the whole boat. I tell you what they're crying about. They cried plenty when they got their first paycheck. Say amen, somebody. Remember my dad saying they put a sign on him, kick me in the seat of the pants. Everybody in New York kicked him a couple times. That's all right. That's all in the fun of it, right? But what I'm saying here tonight is, it is not going to cause people to believe. Now, just look how much they believe. They went out, we spent all this money and everything, and hooray, hooray, and they sold all of these hats and these special hats with the points all over them and flags and hot dogs and coins, a $185 coin that's going to be worth something, and commercialize something. Did it make them believe more? No, they went home all wore out. And all half of that paraphernalia is dragging in the mud, dropped in the bay. But what do you suppose would happen if this person dropped down out of the sky? Getting back to it here. Portraits by the millions would be painted of him. Would you like to have a 2x3 portrait picture of this person here, the preacher from the dead? Airlines would be crammed with every type of person. Every religion would come to see him. Yogas and the communists and the Hindus and the Muslims. They'd fly in, they'd boat in, they'd come afoot and a horseback, they'd swim, they'd come over any old way they could get here, trampling over one another for a peek, right? Know how solemnly you would quake at this visitor. Oh, there he is. Know how you would listen. The faintest symbol would be caught and published worldwide. Mr. Dropin said, every utterance from the man who had been dead but now is alive again would be printed, right? And many would repent, right? Hardened sinners would come to know, right? Do you believe this? Well, don't. If someone should rise from the dead, sinners would no more repent through his preaching than through the preaching of any other. They simply would not believe. The sluggard might sit up for 10 minutes. Oh, what's that? Someone come? Oh, that's real interesting. Well, no, actually, they rose from the dead, see? I mean, so they can kind of believe that. Sort of a like situation. Oh. So what was that? Somebody rose from the dead. Give me an orange juice, a cup of coffee. Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, that's real interesting. Then back to sleep again. Don't laugh too much at the sluggard. We do the same thing. See, we can see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet we don't believe. And we can see miracle after miracle in a ministry and still not believe. One little thing, some little thing could irritate you, and you become an unbeliever. Well, I never, huh? Well, there'd be some unbelievers that might make a few calls. And then right after they made a few calls, they'd go out and raise H again anyway, wouldn't they? But they'd never repent. No. The one should raise from the dead, they would not repent. How do I know that? The Bible says so. That all over you're hearing of so-and-so. Went to heaven, and they got up there, and there were eyeballs on a shelf, and kneecaps, and all. Do you believe that? Friends, that is another gospel. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? There is a portion of something that's dying and is trying to be revived. I call it the hyperfaith. It needs a shot in the arm. Actually, it needs a swift kick in the pants. It has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. And the reason they get in with these kind of things is because we've got a whole lot of unbelievers. You think that'll make them believe? Yeah, they'll believe for one meeting. Yes, 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 yes. And they'll go out unbelieving. They won't even get out the door and they'll be unbelieving. How many believe that? I do. Though one should raise from the dead, they will not believe. But as you see, many would suppose that advantages would come from this resurrection of a saint. But some say, and I hear them saying on the radio like this, he could testify of all he had seen and heard. Well, don't they do that? And then I seen this, and then there was a great big room. And I entered into this great big room. And people are sitting there. They never get excited over people, my God, that are dying all over the world. Flies all over their whole bodies. Something is wrong. Well, they'll go to a Bible study and they'll sit in that Bible study all night. Then they'll go from that Bible study to another Bible. I'm not against Bible studies, but you don't have to have seven of them a week. And never do anything but go to Bible studies. And do they believe? No. Because if they believed and they were into studying, they would take that which they study and put it to work. See, the fruit of your believing is your doing. Because if you don't do, then you don't believe. But he could testify of what all he had heard. Hear him out. I don't want to hear him out. I don't want to hear her out or him out or it out or whatever. I don't want to hear it. There's too much other things I should be hearing. The cry of the people. The cry of the multitudes. The salvation of souls. How about that? And I think we should look at three advantages here that people would have, say there would be. Some would say there would be an advantage in the strength of evidence, which such a man could give it to the truth of the Scripture. Well, just think how much truth there'd be in the Scripture then. And then I hear someone saying on the radio even now, who could dispute the word now? He's been there and saw heaven with his very own eyes. He did. How do you know that? Is that going to cause you to believe? No, it'll excite you a little bit, but if that's what is causing you to believe, then you're an unbeliever. Then some would suppose he could tell us more than Moses and the prophets or Jesus. He's more up to date, don't you see? He would have such an advantage. He would have such evidence. Oh, no. No. Don't fall for that. Go in throngs and thousands and thousands and thousands and walk out just as dead as when you came in. If you're not excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ right now, then there's something wrong. Does it need pumping? Does it need someone to give it more evidence? Someone that had visited more recently heaven than Jesus? But don't you see, Pastor Paul, he would speak with more power, a deeper feeling than the common preacher. Well, it says, go ye in the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't say, go to heaven first and then preach the gospel. Go and get your training up in heaven. Go up there so you'll know what you're talking about. Go up there and flutter around with the angels for a while and then come back. No, Paul had to have a thorn. An affliction. And so, like I said, number one, some would say, if one did come from the dead, there would be a confirmation of the truth of the gospel. We want proof that this is the truth. And then we'll believe. I want to hear it from somebody that's made an actual trip, a more recent trip than Jesus coming here to save the world. Well, okay, I'm just trying to make sense here tonight. Now, I hope that you're taking this in the right way. You listening on the radio. Are you saying you don't believe these stories of people that have actually been... No, I don't! Because their lives betray what they say on the basis of what they're doing. Preach the gospel, and if anyone else comes preaching another gospel, tell them to be anathema. Tell them to go to hell, the Bible says. And while there's so much to do, why do we have to throng the meetings to hear about that really the gospel is true? Because so-and-so, Denny Dimwit, says so because he's been there. Blessed are they that believe and have not seen. Happy are they. Don't you think it would confirm the gospel? No, I don't think we think so. It would not persuade the unbeliever. If it would do some good, don't you think that God would have used it a long time ago? No, while he was here, he did all the miracles. All the miracles. You couldn't even fill all the libraries of all the world with all the miracles he did, and yet people didn't believe. Crucify him, they said. Oh, my.
That was part one of Pastor Paul's message, I Would Be Persuaded If. Be sure to listen to the conclusion, part two, on Easter Sunday. God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.